And this is Pastor Daryl Bailey coming to you live tonight on Facebook and Sermon Audio. It's a pleasure to come into your homes tonight. Hope and pray that you've had a wonderful day today. Welcome as we get back into our series, The Testing of Your Assurance. Amen. And 1 Peter, I thank God tonight as we've been talking about how to live through suffering and give your life to God. Tonight as we entitle our study and our Bible study tonight, Fervently love one another with the heart. And I thank God it's out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. This is the seventh in this series. This is March the 3rd, 2021, the 19th of Adar, 5781 of the Hebrew calendar. Amen. I thank God each and every one of you as we get ready to go into the Word of God tonight. I want you to remember, have some prayers and time of worship, and we'll get right into our study. I thank God each and every one of you as we look and realize tonight that one of our closest friends that passed away Monday from back in the day when we were younger, Brother Jimmy Chance, I want you to remember that family. Saddens our heart, but we know that they're singing in heaven because he's one of theirs and he's in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so my brother David and I, we used to sing every Friday night. That's what we did on the weekends was we got together with Brother Jimmy Chance and we sung gospel songs and we sung Elvis songs as well and played instruments and we just had a wonderful time. And so I want you to remember all of the Chance family as you lift them up where the death angels come and remember our dear friend because and his family as well as you lift them up tonight in your prayers as well. This week we started 40 days of prayer for all of our church, all of our members as children that we started this week praying for them. We may get into something with that tomorrow night, but right now we just want it for the next 40 days. We're lifting up all of the children of our church, and if there's someone that you definitely of our church that you want to make sure that I get it right, you send me their names of all of our church of People's Valley. I know most of them, but I may not have some that maybe that we've been out of touch for a while, and we'd be glad to pray for each and every one of your family members as well. And you just send us a line and do that as well. Want you to remember all of those that are lost, Rachel Zumach, Mark Pratt, Kara King, Heather Bentley, Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates, also Renee Mann family of five, Kobe Boyd, Resi Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, also Mary Pruitt's Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny, Mary Pruitt's, Daryl Pruitt's friend out in Tampa, Florida, George Gordon, and then also Mary Pruitt's nail guy, Daniel. Want to remember all of them, Jake and Joy Sr., Dr. Pete Limpnack. Remember all of these when you pray, and want you to remember all of those ones that that are of our families that are lost, that need salvation, amen. Want you to remember our widows and widowers, Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., I thank God as Sheila Sr., Sarah Turner, Brenda Weaver, Deborah Ruppel, Elizabeth Boucher, Linda Adams, Belinda Grimes, LaVon Underwood, and our men, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, John Osher, Bradford Thomas. Remember all of them in your prayers as you lift them up and pray for them. And also all of those ones that have cancer in our church congregation, Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne. Remember all of these ones that we know of that we're praying for in our church that have cancer today. Each and every one of us, one of these days, will battle it. I know I'm going to tell you, everybody has their bouts with it. And man, I'm going to tell you, you just lift up these ones that are in need of prayer that God will intervene on their behalf as well. And so tonight, as we get to looking into 1 Peter, let's say a word of prayer for these ones tonight. I want you to remember all of those ones that are still dealing with COVID, and also continue to remember all of our kids. Especially those that are students having to go to school, all of the changes that they've gone through and having to stand up against. Nothing like when any of us were kids, different times today. So remember them. Remember each and every one of our churches out there, our sister churches, the pastors. Remember them. Also remember all of our frontline workers, our doctors, our nurses that's out there today. And please, you remember all of our leaders in the nation today, because prayer does make a difference. Whenever we pray corporately, there is a power that scares even all the demons in hell. And so please, tonight, let's lift up the many tonight as we go forward. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, as we get into 1 Peter. Father, we realize, Lord, that he was one, Lord, of the Galileans, Lord. He was one, Father, that you used, that Father, that you set the foundation of the church upon, Father. Lord, as you established each and every one of those disciples. Now, I pray tonight, Father, as we get into 1 Peter, Lord, may it touch the hearts of those that are listening to the Bible study tonight, Wednesday in the Word, Father. Lord, that we'll just stand firm on the Word of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that we'll take the Word of God and let it be a strength and encouragement to us. We send it out to each and every one that's there tonight in People's Valley. Lord, those ones that are shut-ins, Father, I just want to thank you for each and every one of them. And we pray for those family members that are lost, that need salvation, Father. Those that haven't even come around in some time, Father. Lord, we haven't heard from any of them, Father, even as we've experienced death in our families and friends, Father. We've heard nothing from any of them. We hope and pray that they're fine. And Lord, I pray, God, that we just continue to lift them up. And Lord, I ask that you would bring salvation, the convicting power into their lives and touch them. And for those many, Lord, that are not able to come back right now because of the fear of COVID. And Lord, because of all of the chances of catching, I pray, God, for the weak immune systems that are out there. And for the many, Lord, that God, that it's going to be difficult for them, Lord, is Lord, there'll be many that won't even come back to your house. 20%, they say. It's sad to know that already, Father, that because of this is happening, Lord, people will allow it to just keep them home. They'll never go back to fellowship with the Lord's house. And Lord, I pray that they're missing a tremendous amount of blessings. And so, Lord, when that time comes for that transition, I pray that, Lord, you'll make it safe where the church can come back together. And, Lord, all of us will be able to rejoice and enjoy the wonderful fellowship of coming back into the house of God. Be with those, Lord, tonight, Lord, where the death angel has come into their families, the Chance family. And, Lord, bless all of our shut-ins. And, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, I pray, God, for them each and every day. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just continue to strengthen them and encourage them and lift them up. May we continue to have the ability to send resources to all of them through the emails. And, Lord, I thank you tonight for this great privilege of standing on a solid rock foundation of the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to thank each and every one of our shut-ins. With my mother's passing, I've come into some possessions of things that I sent out years ago to shut-ins that none of our other church members have ever heard or knew about. And because of my mother keeping everything, I've come into those and forgot about them. And I'm trying to get all of those and send them out here and get some of the rest of the church caught up with what I did several years ago for all of the shut-ins, amen, that never got to hear any of this material. And so you just pray for our church, and may we continue to go strong in each and every one of us as men and women of God as well. And so let's have a time of worship. We'll get right into our Bible study tonight. Amen. As we reach around and begin to get into our song tonight that we're going to sing. And I want to send this out to all of our families at People's Valley. Amen. Happy birthday to our brother in Christ, Brother Darrell Pruitt. Amen. And his family tonight. Hopefully they're all around him. And begin to celebrate his life, amen, of 60 years. God is so good and faithful and merciful. And brother, we love you tonight. He is our outreach leader for many years. And I tell you, we always enjoy being able to go to the hospitals and be able to go out and visit, but because of COVID for some time. I do hear, though, that in some places they're fixing a vote on whether they're going to let visitors come back into the hospitals. Believe it or not, it's been a long time since people's allowed, pastors especially, have been kept out, as well as family members. I wish I could have enjoyed some of my mom's life while she was in the hospital, but I wasn't even allowed to do that. So let's just lift up the praises and worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry if your steps Oslo, if your life has been spent for Jesus, you don't have much further to go. For the next hand you shake might be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take could be on streets of purest gold. And your next meal could be the marriage supper. And the next touch you feel, he could be blessing your soul. Be strong and keep on going. Don't be angry when things go wrong. Don't give up, for it's almost over. All the signs are pointing toward home. For the next hand you shake might be the hand of the Savior. The next step you take could be on streets of purest gold. And your next meal could be the marriage supper. And the next touch you feel, he could be blessing your soul. Amen. Praise God. I will say amen as someone had said on Facebook earlier, boy, you do have to protect yourself. I just updated my security on my computers as well just recently. Amen. And if you don't, you better, because, man, there's some people that do some evil things out there and steal as well. And sad that in a digital world that people can do things like that. So you have to be afraid and be careful. And even whatever somebody says, I guess if they say that, then be careful. Amen. I thank God if somebody's been hacked or whatever. And so as we get into the Word of God tonight, amen, I thank God as we look and realize with 1 Peter tonight, some of the wonderful things, amen, as we look and realize here tonight, as the five places that Peter began to write out into the Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, were these places that he began to write the letter out to all of the churches of that time, amen. And today, this is modern-day Turkey that he was doing this. I thank God we talked about before how to be secure through suffering, to know that you're saved, amen. I thank God as we backtrack just a little bit to talk about some of those things, amen. To know that you're chosen of God, amen. I thank God, let me back up on that just for a minute to talk about that. Because one of the things that I talked about is, first of all, was to know that you're chosen of God, to know the believer's living hope, and to know the truth about trials and temptations, and then also to know the wonder and the greatness of salvation in that first segment of verses 1 through 12, amen. Here, as we continue on, how to live through suffering to give your life to God, we're focusing from verse basically 13 that we started at, and we've come all the way, and we're going to continue to go all into the third chapter, 1 Peter, with this same thought of how to live through suffering and to give your life to God, amen. And I thank God if some of the things that we talked about back in verse 13 is get your mind ready, amen. Be girded up, praise God. God desires that we be at peak performance, amen, in our running of the race that he has set before us, amen. Have a spiritual mind, amen, that he says, wherefore to gird up the loins of your mind. The battle always starts, I thank God, in your brain, praise God. How we think determines how we live, amen. And so I thank God. And so have a spiritual mind that we talked back in verse 13, amen. And have a sober manner about you as well. Everybody wants to be happy, but God is more interested in your holiness than he is our happiness. Boy, I thank God, can you imagine many people that I saw some that's married for many years and all of a sudden they realize, hey, I'm not happy. You know what? You better stay holy, because God says that you need to be holy, amen. But thank God, sometimes people ain't happy. And life is short, and so, you know, it's sad that you've let something slip away out of the love of your marriage. But I thank God each and every one of us, when we go through life today as we said, you need to get your mind ready, praise God. Have a spiritual mind. Be girded, praise God. Be sober manner, amen. And then have a surprising moment, because every one of us, we've got to stay girded, because the coming of Christ is imminent at any time that he could come, praise God. And so I thank God as we say this in verse 13 of going back and backtracking and reviewing just a little bit with some of you that have been with us tonight for the first time, amen. And so I thank God we've got to stay girded, praise God. Also be guarded as well in verse 14, because Satan looks for those ones that are drifting away from the herd, amen. You've got to reject those sinful patterns, amen, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, that it said in verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Prior to salvation, and sometimes even following, we develop sinful habits that can be difficult to break. These are called strongholds, amen, in God's word. And the longer that you practice a wrong lifestyle, the harder that it is to break that stronghold. It will only be possible as we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God for help, amen. And so you need to identify those patterns in your life today that has brought those sinful habits that you've developed while you've been away from the house of God at home, amen, and not in the closeness of maybe something that you have just slipped away and something has happened, amen. You ain't lost your salvation, but you're just not as close as you were, maybe, is whatever it is. And so I thank God each and every one of us, we've got to be able to reject those sinful patterns, amen, and resist those selfish passions. Lust is defined as a desire to gratify the senses, amen, as it attacks us every day. Some people think they're saved because some emotional overwhelming, but I'm going to tell you something. God can save anybody, but I thank God it has to reach down right into this heart right here and get out of this mind, amen, of all of these senses and emotions, amen, because God can truly save and make you a born-again believer into the family of God, amen. And so I thank God, as I've told you, those things, you've got to be girded, you've got to be guarded, amen. And I thank God, he says, be growing as well, hallelujah. Have that childlike like expression, amen, and a Christ-like expectancy, praise God, amen. Just as he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, amen. And so I thank God he tells us, praise God. How well are you representing God to a lost world out there right now? Do they see that you're different from everyone else? Amen. I thank God. We talked about the reverence and hope of a believer as well last time in verses 17 through 21, that we need to be grateful, hallelujah. No one has more reasons to be thankful than those that have been saved from sin and they're on their way to heaven for all eternity, praise God. Our redemption is not through human behavior. Amen. In verses 17 and 18, where it says, and if you call on the Father who without respect a person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. I thank God. He says, how childish to think that we can work our way to heaven and to think that we can get to God by doing something noteworthy in this old sinful flesh is so wrong, amen. And so our redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says in verses 19, 20, and 21. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. The only sufficient covering for our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Trusting anything else to get you to heaven will leave you condemned forever. What a joy to know that Jesus paid it all. He paid the full price, amen. And it brings us up tonight of how that we apply this tonight. And I thank God there will be two things that you'll do at the end. And that is, you need to be one that gives. Because every one of us have been delivered through the truth of the gospel. You need to be giving that gospel out to somebody else, praise God. Every one of us need to be able to share the gospel with someone else that's never heard it, amen. And we need to glorify and be thankful of the message that the Lord has given to us. And I thank God that time with man is short, amen. And the fervency of the mission is really one of those things that we're going to be getting into. And so tonight we're talking and teaching about fervently love one another with the heart. It's all about love and the love of Jesus and what he's given to us, amen. Because I thank God, the testing of your assurance. And as we look tonight at the seventh in this series, amen, as we go into the Word of God, and as we reverence tonight, amen, the Bible begins to tell us how to live through suffering and give your life to God, amen. And 1 Peter, as we look tonight, as we talked about all of these things here, get your mind ready, reverence and hope of a believer, and then fervently love one another with the heart, amen. And so here we look at verse 22 tonight. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Amen. Goes on, he says, being born again in verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He says, in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And lastly, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the last of the first chapter, amen. If the Lord permitting, our next time we'll get into the second chapter, amen. But I thank God, each and every one of us, Peter's love for his friend and Lord Jesus Christ was at one time on shaky ground when he denied that he even knew Jesus. His love would even get questioned by Christ later on in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. But now Peter knows that that love for Christ and that love for all people is all part of the same package, amen. A relationship with God includes an affection for God's people. And I thank God as we look at four things tonight that shows us the fervent love that we ought to have, amen. I thank God today as we go through life. You'll look and you'll see people out there today that, believe it or not, are becoming less and less personal. They're using more and more things, electronics and things, and they really don't have any physical contact with anybody whatsoever. They're becoming more and more segregated and lonely and by themselves, becoming less personal, I call it. It's personal because here it's being substituted by a virtual and a technological world out there today. We're becoming really good at communicating in technology, but one-on-one and eyeball-to-eyeball and person-to-person, we're losing that. And to be a friend today doesn't mean the same thing that it used to mean. I think you can be a Facebook friend, but it doesn't mean the same thing as a friend that's in fellowship, amen. Like in church, praise God. To like someone doesn't mean the same thing that it used to mean, amen. You know, sometimes we haven't saw that individual in a long time, but we're still friends. We can reach out through technology, especially if we're many miles apart. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the social media doing that, amen. And that's the best way people can keep in touch, amen. But one of the best things is a one-on-one eyeball-to-eyeball when you have friends, amen. And hopefully the Lord will get us back to that spot in our churches for long, amen. But to like every one of us today, as we look and realize that the greatest blessing today, a computer can't do and social networking can't do what people up close friends can do. There's where it takes real people, amen. We live in a love-starved world, and our love should be flourishing. And Peter realized that when he began to write 1 Peter, amen, and 2 Peter, and all of the places, amen, because that was the thought that was in his mind, amen, that I take you all the way to 1 Peter, praise God. And I thank God there's no greater force than love is what Peter is telling us. If two people truly love one another, they will do anything for each other. I want you to see something as we start, amen, because the very core of the paragraph, it talks about in verse 22, that it tells us, amen, about a sincere love of the brethren, amen. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And I thank God, that's a sincere love he's talking about. That's the core. That's the center of everything that Peter's talking about. Everything else resolves around the thought of this sincere love for the brethren tonight. Praise God. And I thank God, it's followed by a command to love one another fervently. Amen. And so everything is connected to those thoughts tonight. Allow me, if you, as we look and we begin to go and see all of the things, amen, that the Lord is doing, amen. And so I thank God he's given us a great love story out of all of this. There's no greater bond on earth than true love. And this especially is true of the love between believers. Why? I thank God because I thank God there is a difference, amen. There is a difference between the love that believers have for one another and the love that neighbors have for one another. You say, what? Oh, yes, there is. You know, I've been saying, let's go out and let's be able to do something nice for our neighbors that are around us. Amen. But Scripture says emphatically this, believers are to have a different kind of love than neighbors have for one another. You say, what? The love that believers are to have for one another is what the Greek calls a Philadelphian love, a very special kind of love. It's the word that is scarcely found except in the Christian writings, amen. And I thank God that Philadelphian love means brotherly love, amen. The very special love that exists between brothers and sisters within a loving family, brothers and sisters who truly cherish each other in the house of God, amen. It's the kind of love that binds one another together as a family, as a brotherly clan. It binds one another, amen, in an unbreakable union. It holds one another even so deeply within the heart, praise God, that knows deep affection for one another, praise God. It flourishes, it nurtures one another, it shows concern, it looks around the welfare of one another, amen. And so the importance of believers loving one another with a Philadelphian love cannot be overstressed, praise God, because of what he tells us, amen, that he says that we have, praise God. He said there is an unfeigned love, amen, that we're to have. And so I thank God as we look back and begin to realize some of the things, amen, that we have. You know, one of the things about brotherly love and accepting love is there's a healing love for our brothers and sisters, amen. And when you think of love, you usually don't put that in the context of sports. But what does it take for a football game, amen? Not love. What does it take to put together a winning team, amen? You know, is love involved in that? Well, let me quote somebody tonight. Vince Lombardi, somebody asked him, he said, Coach, what does it take to make a winning team? Not love, right? Listen to what he said, and I quote him. He says, first, you teach the fundamentals. A player's got to know the basics of the game. Next, you got to keep him in line. That's discipline. The men have to play as a team. Third, they've got to care for and love one another, amen. Now, I thank God, you know what? But listen, as we go on just a little bit further and continue to quote Vince Lombardi, and he says, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is feeling that these guys have a love for each other, and when you've got that sort of team spirit, you've got a winning team. I thank God the churches, that's why they've got a winning team out there today. Thank you, People's Valley. That's why you got a winning team, because of that love, the love of the brethren, the love of Christ tonight. And so I thank God there's a difference between the love that a believer has for one another and the love that a neighbor has for one another. It's the Philadelphian love that he's talking about, amen. And so he tells us, he says, it's unfeigned, amen, in verse 22. It means it's genuine, it's sincere, it's without pretension, it's out without hypocrisy, amen. It's not play acting, amen. I thank God it's not a phony love, amen. And so here is that Greek word that he talks to us about, praise God. Each and every one of us, as it's an unfeigned love of our Christian brothers, amen. We're not to pretend, we're not to play, amen. I thank God there can be no mistake about the importance of love, amen. In 1 Peter 1:22, that says more, and it's forceful. It says, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, amen. The word fervently does not mean with warmth, but rather with full intensity, praise God. Ectentos, amen. It literally means to stretch love fully out or to love one another in an all-out manner, praise God. And so this is a love that believers are to have for one another, the Philadelphia kind of love, amen. And so I thank God as it brings us up to of some of our text tonight that we start out with. He says, first of all, here's the things that we're going to be talking about: how to live through suffering and give your life to God, and fervently love one another. There are four reasons why we are to love one another fervently. Number one, you have a purified your souls in verse 22. The second reason, we're obedient when we love them in verse 22. The third reason, you're born again by the word of God in verse 23. And verses 24 and 25 will sum up this study tonight with reason four, your flesh withers and it falls away. You say, man, that sounds weird. Well, let's get into that fervently loving one another from the heart tonight, because that first point that we're going to get into tonight, amen, that it talks about is reason number one, four reasons why we love one another fervently with a heart, amen. Number one, you have purified your souls, praise God. Peter tells us, he says, seeing that you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Boy, I thank God, as I stop right there, before I go any further, amen, he's telling us that the soul of a true believer is cleansed of sin. He's forgiven. He's purified from every sin that has ever been committed, praise God. As far as the east is from the west, his soul is pure and clean and is completely free from all guilt and moral dirt and pollution and corruption. And the true believer is no longer guilty of any misbehavior or sin, no matter what it is. You say, what? Yeah, I ain't saying you're perfect, because you got this whole fleshly nature. But what God does, he does it. I thank God, we stand before God with a pure and a clean soul, a soul that is perfect and acceptable with God. And I thank God that's what Peter's talking about. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, amen. Well, I thank God, that's what he's telling. You have purified your soul because of the love, amen, the love, the unfeigned love of the brethren, praise God, that you got when you got into the family of God, hallelujah. Boy, that's the thing that why we love one another fervently. But secondly, we see that we're obedient when we love him as well. Because I thank God, as he goes on and he tells us, as I continue to pick up reading again on that second part, he says, listen, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that it's obedience to the truth. That here, the what is that cleanses the believer's soul is it's obedience to the truth. Every one of us, a believer obeys the truth, and as he obeys the truth, the Spirit of God continually cleanses his soul from sin. That's why when you get out of fellowship and when you get out of the will of God, you ain't lost your salvation. But listen, there is a problem with your fellowship right there. Your witness, amen, because you've let something come in between you and your Heavenly Father, amen, and something that you shouldn't have, amen. And so you've got to repent. And I thank God we've got to die daily, as Paul said, praise God. This is very critical, that a person is cleansed only while he's walking in the truth, amen. Only while he's obeying the truth of God's light. And when a person walks in the light of the truth, the Spirit cleanses his soul through the blood of Christ. And that's what Peter is talking about right here, amen. That he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, amen. But it is says, he says, listen, seeing that you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And so I thank God, every one of us is one of those things. 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the reason that we're to love our brothers, amen. God has cleansed our souls from sin for the very purpose of loving others, and we are to be obedient, and we're obedient when we love them. And so it's a circle. It's a circle. We're obedient when we love them. And we love them when we are obedient, praise God. God has cleansed our souls so that we can love people with a clean and a pure heart and with no restraints of guilt or shame or weakness whatsoever, amen. And so therefore, let us love one another in the freedom of a pure and a clean soul, praise God. I thank God. Let me give you some reference on that. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 14, 20, chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know what he says? He says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, praise God. He tells us all of these things, amen. And so, you know what? What did he tell us in Romans 12, 9 about hypocrisy that I was talking about earlier, amen? Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And so, every one of us, he says in 1 Timothy 1, 5, now that the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, amen. Well, I thank God every one of us, he tells us this. So let's move right on along. I thank God that he tells us, amen, about being born again through the living and enduring the word of God, amen. That we're born again, amen, in a new life that will last forever. And it comes from the eternal living word of God, amen. He says in the third reason that we are to love one another fervently with a heart is that you're born again by the word of God. And I thank God that he tells us, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Well, I thank God. He tells us, he says, you know what? For through the living and eternal word of God, you've been born again as the children of a parent who is immortal and not mortal. And so every one of us, as we look, all believers have been spiritually born again and spiritually remade. They've been spiritually created into a new person, new man, new woman, created anew by God to be brothers and sisters to one another and to love one another, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one. I remember when I was in Korea, praise God. Hey, the Protestants, they didn't meet that often. And so you know what I did? Because I love being with the brethren. I went over and I went over with the Catholics. I went in. Was you a Catholic? No, I wasn't a Catholic. But I went in to worship God, amen. And I thank God I went in there. In the Catholic service, praise God, to be able to worship, amen, and to give glory and honor to my Lord and Savior, because I wanted to meet a little bit more often than the Protestants did way off over there at Camp Humphreys in Korea, amen, in 1982. And so, man, I'm going to tell you, back in those days, Germany, amen, praise God, the same, amen. I thank God, Holland, amen, praise God, amen. As we get into the house of God, amen, we was able to get into the house of God in all of the places that we've been to. And thank God for being in the house of God, amen. But I thank God, every one of us, as we know two points about that you're born again by the word of God, amen. First, believers are not born again by corruptible seed, that is, not by the seed of mere men who is corruptible. If we were born by the works of some men, we would still be corruptible. We'd still be abusive and self-seeking and hypocritical. We'd be prideful and angry and selfish and bitter and neglectful and hateful, amen. But this is a behavior of corruptible seed and is the nature of human beings. It is the way that man acts toward others out there. But this is not to be the nature of believers, of Christians, for believers have been born again. I tell you, what did I say? I didn't make it up. It's right scripture in the King James. Being born again, amen. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, praise God. And so I thank God. Hey, you know what? You might call this old preacher on a couple things, but you ain't going to call me on the word of God. I'll eyeball you right down to it, praise God. And so I thank God, each and every one of us today, as we look, as I said, these 2 points. First, that believers are not born again by corruptible seed, that is. But I thank God, believers are born again by the incorruptible seed, and that is by the word of God itself. That's how powerful the word of God is. And so God spoke, and he convicted me, and he led me to repent of my sins, and I turned to him in 1972 down at Blue Springs Baptist Church down by North Cobb High School in Ackworth, Georgia. Amen. I thank God. It may have happened when we were reading God's word or thinking about, no, no, no. It happened when the preaching of the Word of God, Brother Bradford Thomas, my uncle, was preaching, praise God. Amen. I thank God. Many of you, it might have happened for you when they were reading God's Word or thinking about God, or when they were listening to a preacher proclaim God's Word, like I was with Brother Bradford Thomas. Amen. It doesn't matter when or how we were born again. What matters is that it has happened. Amen. I thank God. I thank God that you know that you know. Praise God. And when we turned from sin to God, God spoke the Word and He quickened our spirits and made us alive to Him and His Word. That's exactly what happened, praise God. And He set up a residence of the Holy Spirit within your life, amen. And note that God's Word is an incorruptible seed. It is a seed that is planted within the heart and it lives there, praise God. It is a Word that is incorruptible, that does not perish. Imagine the Word of God that recreates us, amen. And it is incorruptible, praise God. It means a most wonderful thing, praise God, that we are incorruptible and that we will not age or perish or deteriorate or decay with this Spirit, because every one of our souls, they're going to be spending eternity somewhere, either in hell or in heaven. This verse says that the Word of God lives and abides forever. Therefore, we shall live and abide forever, either in heaven or in the extreme flames of hell. You know what? When you stand before the judgment seat or the great white throne, the great white throne will be the unbelievers. They will be the last ones to be judged. Listen, if they're in hell and they brought back up, you know what? He's going to see what more of an extreme hell he can put you in. You say, hell's hell. No, no, no. No, I believe that he's got some extreme hells more than other hells. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you. That boy, I'm gonna tell you. You think you just don't neglect the gospel, and you just gonna go on and do your merry thing, and you're gonna burn up in hell with everybody else. You're gonna be burning forever and ever. Now I don't know why I didn't mean to get on that subject about that, but I did. The greatest evil is out there today is the lack of love. That's the greatest evil. The Lord's put love in every man and woman, boy and girl that is a believer, a born again believer, according to verse 23. I'm going to ask you a question. What's your limit out there today? I mean, you say, what's my limit? Yeah, what's your limit of love? Amen. What's your limit of love? Let me put it another way. How much capacity do you have as a Christian to love people? I'm going to answer that for you, amen, because I thank God. Romans chapter 5 says, for the love of God has been poured out, or it's been shed abroad, poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the language that's referring to filling up a bucket or a pot so full that it just keeps on overflowing to the brim over and over and over, amen. That's the love, amen. What's your limit? What's your love limit, praise God? I thank God. So when you feel like I'm done, this is enough, I can't go on anymore, it keeps filling up. That love just keeps filling up, amen. It's been shed abroad in our hearts, which means you and I have been an infinite capacity by God's grace to love people, which means no one in your life should ever be love starved, because when you run out, He's got more to pour in, more love, more of that love, praise God. He just keeps pouring it. Boy, it just goes on continuously. And the point is this, listen, as born again brothers and sisters, God has put His incorruptible Word in our hearts, and the very first word or commandment to believers is to love one another. Amen? Love one another. And therefore, we must love one another with a pure heart. Fervently, we must obey God. And so I thank God. Let me give you some references. John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5 and 6. Listen, Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, I thank God. He tells us in Colossians 3:10, and I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. 1 Peter 23 says, born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And so every one of us, we realize that spiritual birth that each and every one of us have experienced, amen, is a necessity. A person will never see nor ever enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again, amen. You can take that, right, what I just said, John 3:3, John 3:5, and John 3:7, amen. And so that new spiritual birth is the birth of a new power, and it is a spirit in life, I thank God. Every one of us, as we look at a person that is spiritually born again, and how wonderful it is to experience salvation, amen. Let me get on into my next one, amen, as he talks about the grass that withers and the flowers that fall. I thank God, but the word of the Lord endures forever, because the word of the Lord endures forever. He says, here are four reasons why we love one another fervently with the heart, amen. That fourth reason, your flesh withers and it falls away. You say, man, you might already explain that one. I will. Listen to the reading of the Word of God tonight, amen. He tells us, for all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. Well, I thank God. You know what he's telling us? He says, listen, all human beings are just like the grass outside, and all their glory is like wild flowers. The grass will wither and the flowers will fall away, amen. But I thank God, as he tells us, he says it lasts no longer. He's talking about basically life is ever so short, is what he means in verse 24. It's life is very short. It lasts no longer than the grass that appears so quickly and then it withers away, or the flower that appears just as quickly and it falls away. Notice the phrase, the glory of man. People work and they work to be glorious. They work to be attractive, acceptable, recognized, esteemed, dignified, beautiful. But no matter how much glory man achieves, he ages, he wrinkles, he deteriorates, he passes off the scene. His flesh is no more than the grass that withers, and the glory of his flesh is no more than the flower that falls away. And so I thank God. What did I just tell you? The flesh withers and it falls away. And so I thank God. That's why, one of the reasons why we fervently love one another, amen. I thank God that he says and he tells us this, praise God. And so as we go through life today, to be able to give glory and honor, that he tells us that life is ever so short. But let's continue on. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So he said in verse 24 that life is ever so short. But what is he saying in verse 25? The believer endures forever. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Amen. Get fired up over that one. Because the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord lives in the heart and the life of the believer. Amen. And the believer lives forever. That's what he said back in verse 23 that he told us. Amen. Look at here. Let me look here. Boy, I thank God. I love the old scripture. Let's just get it up here. Praise God. Amen. What does he tell us? He says here in verse 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And so, therefore, the believer lives forever, is what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says. What is this word that endures forever? It is the word of the gospel that is preached to you. That's why it's very important to get as much word of God out. You know, I thank you, Brother Tom Rainer. Brother Tom Rainer told me as a pastor these days, he says, put as much word of God out on Facebook and sermon audio as you can get your hands on. Get that discipling going, praise God. Keep it going, praise God. Put it out there as much as you can during this opportune time, because many people are listening right now, but when this COVID is up, they're going to quit listening. They're going to go right back to the old ways. Ain't that sad to say? But this word of the gospel that is preached to you, if you'll receive the word of the gospel, really bring it into your lives, it will live within us forever, and it will keep living forever. Amen. It ain't because I want to hear myself that I'm doing it. Amen. I thank God I'm getting the word of God out. Amen. And so I thank God. I remember I didn't want to preach, but I was called, and I know that I was called. God called me at 16 years old to break the bread of life unto the sheepfold, amen. And the point is this, believers have received the word of the Lord into their lives. Therefore, they are going to be living together forever. We are the family of God. And therefore, we are to live and to act like the family of God. We're to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, amen. He says, the psalmist says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He says, Isaiah 40, verse 8, he says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. Matthew 5, 18, he tells us, for verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life. As Paul said in Galatians 4:5-6, he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Boy, thank God. Thank you for tuning us in tonight, amen. As he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, amen, tonight as we close. Boy, I thank God. I like what he says. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the complete reading of the first chapter of 1 Peter. The Lord being our helper, this was the seventh in this series. The testing of our assurance. We'll pick back up in the second chapter and go into each one of the details until we get through the entire book of 1 Peter, and then we'll go on from there. Amen. Amen. I can even go quick and quick and quicker if I have to, but thank God right now. Let's just take it slow. Take in every bit of the Word of God, because there is a lot to take in. It is so powerful, and it is so powerful that will change your life. I hope and pray that each and every one of you, or as you tune us in tonight, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips, amen. And so I hope and pray that your reputation precedes you, that you are definitely shining a light of salvation and the gospel as you represent our Lord and Savior, because love is one of the most important action words that we can do to reach our brothers that are lost out on their way to a devil's hell. That we can break out and take time for our neighbors and for those, because this was a Philadelphian love, amen. It's a different love that you have for the brother than you have for the neighbor, amen. We love the neighbor as well. And so I thank God of all the three different types of love that the Bible talks about, amen. God really used the greatest love and showed us when he went to that cross and he hung willingly and gave himself as a sacrifice and paid a debt that not a one of us could pay. It is so good to be with you tonight. May God bless you as our prayers and our teaching tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, all the way to verse 25. And may God bless you tonight as we go our separate ways. Father, we thank you for this great privilege and honor of breaking the bread of life unto your sheepfold. Be with the many, Lord, that have... They don't even go around their own family members. They can't even get along with one another. Lord, I pray that you'll bring peace back into the families that have been broken apart for some reason. They may not even know what the reason is. But Lord, if they don't make those amends, they're going to pay a consequence. Lord, I pray that you'll bring peace back among them, because they'll never ever have what they had before until they resolve the issues of the forgiveness and the love that is needed and that's been missing for some time in that relationship. Thank you tonight, Lord, as we love one another fervently with the heart. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.